For sure. So Carlos is a really good friend of mine. So my name's Steven. Me and my wife recently moved up here from beautiful, sunny Southern California. And we moved up here to start a church in Portland. So we're right in the middle of it, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And that's how I came to know Carlos, and Carlos has been a huge blessing to us. I had a chance to come speak here. It's been probably about like 6 months now or so ago. And so I recognize some of your guys' faces, but yeah, excited to be here, excited to get into the Word with you guys. You guys ready? Okay, cool. Huh? Yeah. Who said? Someone said no? No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray. Oh, man. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this time, Lord, that we can gather, that we can receive from you, Lord, that we can just, Lord, that you could speak to us. And Lord, I do pray that you would just speak to us, Lord. May you, Lord, just meet us here by your Spirit. Just like that last song, Father, may, Lord, you're welcome here, Father. We want you here. Lord, we don't want this to be just another boring church service, Lord, just another routine thing, Father. We want this to be just a time where you meet us here. Lord, where you show yourself real to us, Lord, where you speak to our hearts. And Lord, where you just change us. So God, may you just meet us here tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whoa, this thing's sensitive. You can't exhale too strong or it shakes the room, apparently. All right, Philippians chapter 2. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in chapter 2 tonight. We're going to be talking about something that I think we all... I say this sarcastically, love to talk about, and that's humility. Humility is one of those things where I think that when you give your life to Christ, you want to have that mentality. You want to be humble. You want to honor God and please God, but at the same time, we always wrestle with that pride. You know, and sometimes that pride in our lives, it can be just so ingrained. It can be just years and years and years of, and it's not always a bad thing. Maybe for some of you here, you overcame a lot. Maybe you overcame a rough upbringing. For some of you here, maybe you never had anyone in your corner, so you had to navigate your life by yourself, and there's that sense of accomplishment there. There's that sense of pride. For some of you guys, maybe it's different things. Maybe God has blessed you with just gifts and talents, and you know that, and so it's hard to be humble. It's hard to be humble, but God values humility so much in our lives, so much in our lives. Now, the Bible has so much to say about humility and about someone who's humble. The Bible says that God hears the humble. The Bible says that God saves the humble. The Bible says that he teaches them his way. The Bible says that he guides the humble in justice. He shows them what's right. Sometimes you're praying about a decision and you're like, I don't know what's right or wrong. When you humble yourself before the Lord, he shows you what's right. He shows you what that right decision is. The Bible says that he lifts the humble up. He exalts them. Sometimes when you have a little bit of pride, you can think, well, I have to promote myself. But it's God, you know, God's ways are so different than the world's ways. Because the way up is down. The way up is that you humble yourself before the Lord and you humble yourself before people, and then God lifts you up and he gets the credit. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. He actually resists the proud. Did you know that? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives the humble, listen to this, this is what grace is. He gives the humble what they don't deserve. And some of you guys, that strikes a chord because you've only ever gotten what you've worked for, and you have a strong work ethic, and it's all about, man, I worked for this, and so I deserve it. And God, why are you going to bless this person? They didn't go through what I go through. Lord, they didn't have to overcome what I had to overcome. Why are you giving them what they don't deserve? But the truth is you're never going to really experience everything God has for you, because understand this, God wants to give each and every one of us only by his grace. And if you want God to do great things for your life, that's amazing. But understand, you're not going to be able to earn them. You're not going to be able to work for them. There's not going to come a point in your life where you're going to be like, okay, God, now I've done everything I need to do. Now, you know, where's my reward? It doesn't work like that. See, the way to receive from God is to humble yourself before the Lord. To humble yourself before the Lord. And what does he do? He gives grace to you. And he gives you maybe what you didn't deserve and what you didn't work for. And the amazing thing is then you can turn around and you can give him all the praise and all the glory and all the credit. Because that's what God desires. He desires the glory and the credit from what he does in our lives. I think sometimes we can look at humility as weakness, especially in a business world. It's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, very good friend of mine, and we were talking about that, how sometimes being a Christian and when you choose to not let the old man, you know, go too crazy, you choose to keep him in check and take the humble road, sometimes people can test you a little bit. Sometimes people can try and take advantage of you. And we can look at humility and we can think it's weakness. And maybe you're surrounded by people and everyone you're surrounded by has that same exact mentality. And you're supposed to come in there and be humble. And it's just, you're like, it doesn't make sense. I can't do it. But see, pride, listen, pride is not a good thing. And in the way things work with the Lord, God values humility and he honors humility. And he desires humility. Humility, listen, humility is a game changer with your relationship with God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The title of my message is Be Humble. We're going to see two things in this text. We're going to see the action of humility, what it means to be humble. What does it look like? Right? And it's funny because whenever you study the text, especially if you're teaching a Bible study, there's sometimes where you go into a text and you're like, oh, I know what that's all about. And then you get in there and you're like, man, I never knew that. God, I never knew that was the case. But that's the amazing thing about God is the Word of God, it's inexhaustible. You can look at a passage that you have read over and over and over again and get something new out of it each time. And God just speaks. And then we're going to see the attitude of humility. What does it mean to have a humble attitude and a humble spirit in your life? And how we can achieve those. So as we get started in Philippians chapter 2, go ahead and follow along with me as we read. I had all you guys turn there and I didn't even turn there. Philippians chapter 2. And go ahead and follow along with me in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, the first thing we see here is we see that he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Literally what he's saying is he's saying, check your heart. He's saying, check your heart. You know, selfish ambition there, it's a political term. It's a word that was used if you had someone that's campaigning for an election and they're trying to promote themselves, they're trying to promote their agenda, and they're out there going and campaigning. That's the word that it's used there. It's a political word, and that's what selfish ambition is. It's doing something with the goal of promoting yourself or promoting your own interests. Selfish ambition is all over the place in the world, but listen, it's also in the church at times, and it can be easy to fall into this trap. It can be so easy to fall into this trap. Right? One minute we're doing something and we've convinced ourselves that we're doing it for the Lord, but in the back of our mind we're like, man, I hope Pastor Carlos sees me. I hope Pastor Carlos sees that I was here early, you know. Hope Pastor Carlos sees that, you know, I have a servant's heart because I stayed after when everyone else left and I helped. And sometimes we can have that mentality, and it can be easy to fall into the trap of doing things to promote our own self-interest. You know, when you come into the body of Christ, when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, one thing you have to learn is no longer about your agenda and your plan and your will for your life. The Bible says that you can't serve two masters, and what it says, you can't serve two masters, it doesn't mean you shouldn't serve two masters, like it's not a good idea. What it literally means is there's an impossibility, there's a limitation there. There's an inability to serve you and to try and serve God, because one of them's going to come out on top. And so often we come to Christ and we're like, oh man, this is great, but Lord, you know, I have you now and that's great, but I'm going to also keep you separate from my will for my life. And pretty soon you find that one of them comes out on top. You find that church starts to lose its interest serving God. At one time you were on fire to serve God, and now you're like, man, I got to be there at like 6. They don't even start praying right away, so I can stroll in at 6:05, no problem. Oh man, they're having an event. Oh, man, I've worked a long week, so I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to probably just not go early and serve. I'm going to just show up for the event itself. And we can do all these things. Why? Because we've lost our interest in the things of God because we've tried to serve two masters. And we've tried to serve two bosses, us and the Lord. See, when you come to Christ, God calls us to lay our life down. He says that you got to forfeit your life. Literally, you got to forfeit it. You got to give it up. And then you find that when you do that, the Lord begins to do a work in your life that is beyond anything you could have thought. And selfish ambition, it can be a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous trap. It's funny, I remember hearing this story of this pastor, and he had just barely gotten saved, had just gotten plugged into a church, and he learned that there's these things called elders, and he saw them, and he's like, man, you know, I really want to be an elder. Super young guy, you know, didn't know anything about the Bible, and he even said when he told this story, he's like, I didn't know anything about the Bible. He's like, but I just wanted to be an elder. And so he found out that they had an elders' prayer meeting that met every Saturday at 8 a.m., and they would do a board meeting and all these things. So he said one day he rolled up early to the church, and he brought a broom with him, and he got out at 7:30, and he's out there sweeping leaves and picking up trash. And he said the elders walked in for the meeting, and he was like waving at them, and they were all waving at him like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, good to see you. And he's like, yeah, you know, just out here, you know, wanted to just, you know, clean the Lord's house, right? And his whole plan, he's like, you know, he's like, they only meet for about an hour. He's like, so I'm going to stay here and clean the whole time. And then when they come out, they'll see that I'm still here and they'll think like, man, this guy is elder material. Well, what he didn't realize is that day they all had left out the back door and they finished the meeting at a breakfast place. And he was out there for 4 hours. And when you hear him tell the story, he said the first hour he's there, like, okay, they're about to come out. And then the second hour, he's like, I wonder if maybe they just, you know, something happened. And, you know, out there for 4 hours before he finally realized that, you know, they had all left. And I think sometimes we can have that selfish ambition. And selfish ambition can cause us to do all sorts of things for the wrong motives. Can cause us to do all sorts of things, and at the end of the day, listen, none of those things, they're not done for the Lord. They're done to further our own ambition. to further our own plan. I think that people with selfish ambition, listen, they're never really used by the Lord. And the reason why is because what God wants for them will always come second. I can't tell you how many people don't want to serve in the little areas that I've seen over the years. You ask someone to be there early to help clean up trash, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll show up, and they never show up. Why? Because they're waiting for someone to ask them to go teach from the pulpit, and they don't settle for the little things. It's only the big things that they'll do for the Lord. They can't understand that their ambitions are getting in the way of what God wants to do. People with selfish ambition are never really used by the Lord. I think we need to check our hearts when we do things. We need to ask ourselves when we do things, am I doing this to promote me? Am I doing this so people will see me? Am I doing this out of selfish ambition? And we always got to search our hearts and ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And sometimes it's hard, especially if you're in the rhythm of going to church and working and serving God and doing all these things. Sometimes you can get into that rhythm where you almost, it's like autopilot. And you forget why you do what you do. And it's almost like you have to stop and say, it's almost like something has to happen where you're just, you God allows you to maybe go through a season where he doesn't use you or you don't have a lot of opportunities. Sometimes you'll go through a season where maybe you had an opportunity and maybe the Lord pulled you back from that opportunity. And he often does those things. Why? Because he wants us to search our hearts. He wants to show us that it's not about doing all those things. It's about allowing him to purify our hearts so we can be used in a greater way for the Lord. See, the danger of selfish ambition is that we can compromise. And compromise will destroy your relationship with God like no other. You see, the danger with compromise is usually small things. It's little things. There's a verse that for me has just been on my heart a lot lately, and it's in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And it says this, it says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. And I just keep thinking about that verse. And obviously, like, I don't have a vineyard at my house. Like, I don't have grapes at my house. Like, I'm not out there trying to catch foxes or anything like that. But in my life, I noticed that there's seasons that I've gone through where I look at my life and I'm like, man, you know, this little thing that I allowed there or this little thing that I've allowed into my life, it's spoiling the vine. Maybe it's not going to send me to hell. Maybe it's not going to destroy or disqualify me, but it's those little things, they spoil the vine. Listen, they render you useless for the Lord. Man, they render you useless. They spoil the vine. You'll find that whenever you're going through seasons of compromise, and sometimes it's not big things, it's little things. You'll find that when you get caught up in those things, you'll often find that you'll stop growing. You'll find that your relationship with God, you won't have any direction. It's almost like you'll feel this disconnect between you and God. It's those little compromises. Listen, why is selfish ambition so dangerous? Because it causes us to compromise to get ahead. It causes us to compromise our relationship with God. It causes us to allow sin to come in, things that you would have never thought of doing, like Peter, I'll never deny you, Lord. All of a sudden, we find ourselves doing those things to get ahead. Well, Lord, if I just do this thing, I can get this business contract that I've been trying to nail. Lord, if I just do this, I'll be able to do this. And we start justifying all of these different things. And before you know it, you've caused damage to your relationship with Christ. You've allowed things to come between you and God. And I think many times we can justify it. Listen, notice what he says in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. It's interesting when he says, let nothing, you know what he means? He means not one thing. Literally, not one thing. He says, don't let one thing be done in your life through selfish ambition. You know, I think we have to break free of that mentality of that one, it's just one thing mentality. It's just one time. It's just this once. It's just this one thing. And then, Lord, once I get what I want, right, because it's all about us, once I get what I want, Lord, then I'll stop. We have to break free of that it's just one time way of thinking. Because what are we doing? We've started now to justify our sin, and that is a dangerous, dangerous place to be when we justify our sin. Man, King Saul, it's so interesting, and I heard you guys are studying that on Wednesdays, right? King Saul? No? A little bit? Okay. Okay, show us how many of you guys are paying attention, right? Shoot, I'm going to tell Carlos. I'm going to be like, bro. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to tell on you guys. But he is watching online, so he saw. Those of you that didn't nod, he knows. He's probably going to come talk to you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he's even watching. But I'm going to get a text after. He's going to be like, bro, what did you do? But and King Saul, listen, he had this moment at the end of his life, and God had taken him. He was a nobody, and God had raised him up to be someone great. And at the very end of his life, God told him, and he had already kind of been dropping the ball. He had already been making mistakes, and God said, okay, listen, we're going to put all that behind us. Like, I'm going to give you another opportunity. I want you to go, and I want you to wipe out the Amalekites. He said, I want you to wipe out the Amalekites, every single one of them, all the livestock, don't leave nothing alive. So what does King Saul do? He goes and he wipes out everyone except the king. He spares the king, he spares the women and children, he spares the best of the livestock. And, you know, Samuel comes to him and Samuel says, Saul, what happened? You know, you were supposed to wipe out everything, what happened? And Saul, I did. I did obey the Lord. And Samuel said, how come I hear sheep in the background? Saul said, they were for sacrificing. What was he doing? He was justifying what he did. He said, it's going to be great, Samuel. We're going to just sacrifice to the Lord. See, because, you know, that makes everything better, but it doesn't. And what did Samuel say to him? Samuel said very simply, he said, listen, Saul, he said, this is what he said. He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to listen is better than the sacrifice of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Heavy. Heavy. He said, what God desires, he doesn't desire more money from you. He doesn't desire more service. And maybe you're thinking, well, if I just do this one thing financially, I'll be great. And, you know, we have that way of communicating with the Lord where it's like, Lord, I'll be great. And that means you're going to be even greater because I'm going to have more money to give to you, Lord. And you're thinking that right now. And you're thinking, if I just do this, it'll all work out. Listen, God doesn't want more money. He doesn't want more of your time. If you're thinking, well, if I just do this, then I could really be here on Sundays to serve the Lord. God doesn't want all that. God wants your obedience, and either you're going to listen to him or you're not going to listen to him. And if you don't listen to him, you're going to miss out on everything God wants to do. You know what the prophet Samuel told Saul? He said, Saul, he said, listen, he said, Saul, he said, God wanted to establish your kingdom forever. He says, but because you didn't listen, God's rejected you from being king. Obedience. Obedience is everything. We have to get past that thinking of it's just one time or it's just this situation, right? This is a, Lord, I got an exemption, right? A special circumstance. We have to move past that. He says, no, he says, let not one thing be done from selfish ambition. And then he also says this too. He says, and let not one thing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. What does it mean to be humble? What it means to be humble is it means to not do things from selfish ambition, not do things chasing your own interests, but it also means to not do things and make decisions and do things out of a place of pride. That's what conceit is. It's pride. It's people that are big-headed. And he says, listen, he says, don't make decisions and do things out of pride, right? Maybe some of you are here and we've all been in that situation where someone asked for your help and what's the first thing we thought? I'm not going to help them. I saw what they did to this other person and maybe the Lord's put it on your heart too and you're like, I'm not going to help them. Maybe you have some issues with someone and you feel that you need to reconcile and but you're telling yourself, you're like, I'm not going to reach out to them. They need to reach out to me. They need to reach out to me. See, a lot of times we can make decisions and we can do things from a place of pride. We can do things from a place of selfish ambition, but of pride and of conceit. It can happen in the church, right? Sometimes you're in the church and you know, maybe something comes up and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, let that guy serve, you know. Last time he didn't show up, so he's done. We have that mentality, right? Grace for me, but not for thee. And we can have that, but listen, don't let anything be done from a place of pride. If you want to be humble, if you want to have humility in your life, don't let anything be done from a place of pride. And don't make decisions from a place of pride. It's interesting, being humble, it shows up in our actions. It doesn't always show up in how we appear. You know, it's interesting, I think sometimes when we look at different people and we look at different things, we can have ways of looking at humility. We can see someone who maybe drives kind of like an older car or maybe dresses with clothes that are maybe not the newest or you know, maybe a little bit faded or whatever, and we can think, oh, that's a humble person right there. But the truth is I have met a lot of poorly clothed, proud people in my life. See, being humble, it doesn't show up in how you dress. It doesn't show up in how you talk. There's some people who you hear them talking, you're like, oh man, that's a humble person, right? The tone of their voice, it's very spiritual and very humble. You know, it could be that they're just maybe a little bit hoarse. You don't know. Listen, humility, it doesn't always show up in how a person talks or in how a person dresses or in how they appear or in how they are at church. Where humility shows up is in a person's actions. And if you and me, if we want to know how to measure up, we have to bring our decisions before the Lord and we have to ask Him to search our hearts. And we have to say, Lord, was this decision done from a place of pride? I was thinking about it today, and I almost don't want to do this, but I do want to do this, but I don't want to do this, because I know what it's going to reveal in me. But man, what would happen if each and every one of us here, if we took every decision that we've made, every action that we've done over the last month, and measured it by this, and said, Lord, was this a decision that was done from a place of pride? Was this a decision that was done from a place of selfish ambition? And I wonder how we would measure up. I would fail, to be honest. I would fail. You see, when we have selfish ambition, we have to bring it to the Lord. And sometimes there has to be that searching that takes place in our hearts. There has to be that allowing the Lord to search us. It's interesting, there's a story in the book of Joshua of the sin of Achan, and the people went into the land, and God said, again, God just, always simple. It's simple obedience will take you a long way with the Lord. And Joshua is going into the land, and God tells the children of Israel, he says, hey, he says, you're going to, you know, overthrow Jericho, but don't take any of the spoil. And what does Achan do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll take a garment, you know. So he takes it, and he hides it, and he buries it in his tent. They go on like nothing happens. Well, later on, they go to take this city of Ai, which was a super small city, and they failed, and they lost lives. There was casualties there. And Joshua went before the Lord, and he was like, Lord, what happened? Why are we getting defeated, Lord? And God told him, he said, you know, Joshua, the problem is there was some sin in the camp that hasn't been dealt with. And so the Bible says that they made a searching of it. They brought all of the tribes out, and they brought each tribe before the Lord, and the Lord chose Judah. So then they got Judah, and they brought each family within Judah before the Lord, and the Lord singled out another family, and they brought before each person in that family until it came down to Achan. And Joshua told Achan, he said, what happened? My son, what happened? What have you done? And then Achan confessed. But sometimes there has to be that searching in our hearts. We have to bring it before the Lord. Lord, is there anything that is in this area that needs to be exposed? Lord, is there anything maybe in this decision, Lord, that is not of you that you want to reveal to me? And when God reveals us to those things, listen, it's not because he wants to punish you. It's because he wants you to bring those things to him so that he can heal you and he can forgive you. The Bible says that he's faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then when he does that, what does he do? He washes you clean. You have that freedom, no more guilt. You don't have it hanging around your head anymore. Sometimes confession, and that's why the book of James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins to one another. Sometimes it's like, well, Lord, I already confessed to you, but it's that confession of sins to one another. What does it do? It brings healing into your life. Brings healing into your life. Which is what God is always wanting to do. But humility, listen, he's talked about what humble people do, right? But it's not just what humble people do and don't do that makes them humble. It's not just the don't doing anything from selfish ambition and don't doing anything from a place of pride. What also makes a person humble, listen, it's what they do do. Notice what he says next in verse 3. He says, the second half of verse 3, he says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Man, lowliness of mind, it's how you and me, how we view ourselves. And listen, lowliness of mind and having a low view of self, he's not talking about walking around beating yourself up all the time. He's not talking about walking around, man, I'm such a sinner. So horrible. Lord, I failed this morning, and I failed on the way to work, and I failed at work, and Lord, Lord, we can beat ourselves up. That's not what he's talking about. There's grace in Christ, and you have to learn how to receive that grace. Otherwise, you're going to live in condemnation, and the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're going to be so frustrated until you learn to receive the grace of God in your life. It's freeing when you receive that grace, when you walk in that grace. For me, that's something I struggled with when I first came to the Lord. I was constantly beating myself up. It was like every little thing I would beat myself up. Man, Lord, I didn't read my Bible first thing in the morning. Oh, now my whole day is going to be off. You're not going to use me today, Lord. I would beat myself up over all sorts of things. Constantly just living in condemnation, never any joy, never the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And then one day, I remember I read a book by Chuck Smith that a friend gave me, and it was called Why Grace Changes Everything. And that book, there's two books that have had an impact on my life, the Bible and Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything. Because it was all about experiencing the grace of God, the freedom of God. that you don't have to live in constant condemnation, that it doesn't matter. God wants to use your life. And he wants to bless you, but it's through his grace. And it's only through his grace so that he can get the glory. Lowliness of mind is not beating yourself up all the time and condemning yourself. Listen, what it is this. Having lowliness of mind is this. Trying to think which direction I want to go with this. Lowliness of mind is this, and it's best reflected in Andrew Murray's quote. He said this. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking nothing of yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking nothing of yourself. Like what we talked about at the beginning, sometimes you have amazing talents, you have amazing gifts, you have amazing accomplishments, and we begin to think of ourselves as somebody, and we kind of rest on our accomplishments a little bit, and it's almost like, yeah, you know, I have achieved a lot in life. And we can start to think of ourselves as somebody, and we forget that everything we have is from God, and that all of us are saved by the same exact thing, and that's grace. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Everybody here who has given their life to Christ, we're all saved by grace. I can't say that I'm better than you because the truth is I'm not. We're both saved by the same grace. It doesn't matter how many accomplishments you have. That doesn't matter. Listen, we are all saved by the grace of God. He says, have that lowliness of mind, thinking nothing of yourself. And then he says, esteem others better than you. What's he talking about there? He's talking about having a high respect and view of others, even when you know that maybe you are better than them. I'm serious. There's just sometimes where maybe you have a skill and you look at someone else and you're like, you know, they're not at the skill level yet. And sometimes you can wonder, well, how am I supposed to think of them as better than me? And this is what he means. It's having a high respect of them. It's viewing them as superior. But listen, it's this. It's learning the lesson that it's not about who is better than who. When you let go of that thought, when you let go of that mentality, well, I am better than this person. Well, this person is better than that person. Well, this person is the best of all, right? We kind of rank people in our lives. Or, you know, I have money, but my neighbor has more money. I have property, but my neighbor has more property. When we free ourselves from that mentality that it's not about who is better than who, we're all equal in the Lord. When you free yourself from that mentality, you can look at someone and you can esteem them as better than yourself. You can esteem others highly. Why? Because it's not about who has what. See, pride makes us look down on others. Humility makes us look up at others. Notice what he says next. He says, let each of you look out in verse 4. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Listen, if you want to be humble, understand, be all about others. Be all about other people. He says, don't just look out for your own interests. Don't be all about self. He says, be all about others. Look out for other people's interests. Doesn't mean that you totally remove yourself from the equation, but it means you start to include others' interests in there too. It's not all about me. It's about what? It's about the interests of others. Then you want to be humble, be all about others. And then notice what he says next. He says this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he's getting into the attitude of humility. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Listen, humility should not just be in your actions. Humility should be in your spirit. Humility is not just something to be in your actions. Humility is something that should also be in our spirit. To have a humble spirit. What does he say? He says, let this mind be in you. And this mind that was in Christ, this humble attitude, this humble way of thinking that Christ had, he said, let that be in you too. See, humility isn't all about doing and not doing, and it isn't all about actions. It's about having a humble spirit. It's an attitude of your heart. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of approaching your life, having a humble spirit. And notice what it says here. This is so powerful. It says this in verse 7. It says that Jesus, right, who being in the form of God, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. Notice what happened. He made himself, in verse 7, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. What's it talking about? It's talking about how when Jesus left heaven, came down to earth, became a man, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for yours and for my sins, and then rose again, showing us what? That death no longer has a hold over your life, that he has conquered sin and he has conquered the grave, and then he rose and ascended to heaven, where one day he's going to come back and get us. All of that, you know what he did in coming down and in taking the form of a slave, which is the lowest position in society, coming in the likeness of men whom he created. Think about that. He created mankind. And coming and taking the form of a man, taking the form of a slave, literally the lowest position in that society. And what does it say? It says that he did all of this by choice. It says this, it says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus said something very important when he was getting ready to be taken to the cross. He said, no one takes my life from me. He says, I lay it down, he said, and I have the power to pick it back up again. See, humility, listen, humility is a choice. Jesus chose, listen, the God Almighty, the creator of heaven and of earth and of everything in between, all powerful, all knowing, chose to leave that to come down. And he chose humility. Humility is a choice. It says that he humbled himself, became obedient, verse 8, to the point of death, even the death on the cross. He humbled himself, and we know that when he was on this earth, he did what? He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He chose to submit himself to the will of the Father and became obedient to the point of death. He humbled himself in willingness. He submitted and in obedience to the Lord. There was that obedience. There was that willingness to submit. See, one of the marks of humility is, and a humble spirit, is a willingness and a submissive spirit. It's a submissive spirit. It's humility. And then it says what? It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father. I'm so glad he put that in there, because it's almost like showing us the end. He's like, man, he's like, you humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't let anything be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Listen, esteem others better than yourself. let the attitude that was in Christ also be in you. What's that attitude? That's that attitude of being willing to let go of your reputation, of being willing to choose humility, which is hard to do, to have that submissive spirit. And then it says what? It says God exalted him. And I really believe that God put that in the Bible divinely for me and you to be encouraged. Why? Because many times we think that the way up is to climb, but really the way up is through humility. And then God lifts us up in his time. In closing, listen, to strive for a humble spirit, that's something we all have to do. We all have to strive for a humble spirit. And I just want to give you a couple things. Maybe you're battling. You're like, yeah, this sounds great and all that, but the real world is different. I'm going to leave here and yeah, you know, this is all great right now, but the real world is different. Listen, you have to strive for a humble spirit. Three things that will help you. One, don't look down on humility. Don't look down on it. Don't look at humility as something that can just, you know, oh no, that's not for me. That's only for the Christians. That's only for the weak ones. That's not for me. Don't look down on humility. A second thing that will help you if you're struggling with really having a humble spirit is to open yourself up to humility. And open yourself up to it. He says, let that mind of Christ Jesus be in you. You got to open yourself up to what the Lord wants to do in your life, to how he wants to mold and shape your character, to the hard situations that he maybe wants to use to refine you and to change your way of thinking. And lastly is to let God change your thinking. Renewing the mind, when the Bible talks about renewing the mind, listen, it's that transformational work that God does by his Spirit and by his Word where he changes our way of thinking. It's like when you remodel a house or when you remodel a kitchen. You go in and what do? You look and you're like, okay, this has got to go, that's got to go. You remodel, you renovate. That is what God wants to do with our minds, the Bible says. Because the truth is it is not normal to think in a humble way. It is not normal to have a humble spirit. We are sinful beings. Man, we are natural sinful beings. But when you open yourself up to God and you allow God through his word to renew your mind, what you find is you find that he begins to change your way of thinking. You find that you start to have a humble spirit. And God can begin to do a new work in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, Lord, I thank you for your grace, Lord, your goodness. Lord, I just pray. Lord, I pray now that, Father, as we, Lord, have heard your word, Lord, I pray and I ask, God, that you would, Lord, just open our hearts. Lord, may our hearts be open to respond to you. May our hearts be open, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, I just pray for anyone here who's just been maybe fighting you, Lord. That's a hard place to be in. Lord, maybe someone here, Lord, who's been playing the part a little bit. Coming to church and doing all the things, but Lord, inside there's that selfish ambition. There's that self-first mentality. Maybe there's even bitterness, Lord, because you're not using them how they want to be used. Lord, I pray that you would just search our hearts now. Lord, may you search our hearts by your Spirit. We're going to do a song. As we do this song, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity if you want to get right with God, whether that's you've never received him and you want to receive him, or whether that's just you know looking at your life that you're not right before Him and you want to give Him an opportunity to change you. You want to open yourself up to Him. So I just want to give you an opportunity as He worships. And then at the end of this song, we'll pray. Just allow